Well, let's bow our heads and pray. Let's come to our Heavenly Father, as our Lord Jesus Christ instructed us to do. And let us pray. Pray in the Spirit. Come to the throne room of heaven. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather together here this morning as your family, your people, your children, through what Jesus did for us at Calvary. We thank you that through that we can know you, and we can know that loving care that we've just sung about in our daily lives. Thank you for this past week. Thank you for the way that you've been with us. Everywhere that we've been, you've been there. Thank you for the way that you've guided us and helped us. And thank you this morning we can gather in this place to worship. Again, we still have the restrictions in place, but our hearts are open to you. We want to express our praise. I will sing your praises. And Lord, whether we can do that audibly or not, from our hearts, take our love, take our praise, receive that praise. Lord, it's not all it should be, but Lord, one day it will be all that it can be. But until then, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings of past days. And thank you that you are here to meet with us. Bless those who meet with us to our left and to our right. For those unable to be with us for whatever reason, Lord, be with them. Minister into their lives and situations too. Thank you that you are a Father who speaks through his word. Help us to be listening children this morning, to listen, to learn, and to live in a way that glorifies you. Forgive our sins and shortcomings, and take everything that's said and done, and may it be to your glory alone. Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our reading this morning is in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verse 27. Of course, John chapter 3 is known for being the passage about Nicodemus and that wonderful verse 16, on which we understand the gospel message and what Jesus came into the world to do. But from verse 27 I want to read, and this is part of John the Baptist's testimony about who Jesus is. John replied, "A man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him, and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth, and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." It's that verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands that I want us to consider a little bit later on. Well, before we turn to God's word, let us just again turn in prayer to our Heavenly Father, the one who is faithful, who hears our cry as we call upon him in Jesus' name. Let's be mindful of the wider world in which we live. We talk of bubbles and being in small groups, and we can so easily lose sight and perspective of all that is going on around the world and the needs at large. And so let us remember these. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you now, thankful for your mercy towards us and your faithfulness, the provision that you make in our lives day by day. And we look at our world, and Lord, it's a big place with a lot of problems, and sometimes it is a little overwhelming for us, particularly in this time of pandemic, I think of the news, and particularly what's going on in Brazil and other countries too, vast numbers. And we just cry to you, Lord. We thank you that you are Almighty God. You are the Creator, Sustainer. Lord, are our Saviour. You've sent your Son to save us. And we thank you in Brazil particularly, Lord, that the church is so strong but suffering in the midst of it. And we pray for those people particularly connected with us through David's travels there, but also just joined in heart to us through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for them in their neighbourhoods, amongst those, Lord, of lost lives and suffering at this time. Thank you that you have put your people in this world to be salt and light. And we pray for the impact of that salt and light, not just there, but in every nation of our world. And where your church, Lord, is small and insignificant, Lord, protect, build your church. Keep them, Lord, even through persecution. And Lord, we would just want to see your kingdom come and your will done across our world in these days in which we're living. So we cry to you. We pray for our neighbourhood. We pray for friends and family, those in our fellowship in need physically. Again, Lord, sometimes it just seems insurmountable. It is for us, but Lord, it is not for you. Touch each one at their point of need. Touch our lives, Lord, as we gather together to hear your word. Give us listening ears. We are bombarded by so much that is, Lord, not of you in our world. But thank you that we can come to your word and hear your word proclaimed in this place. And so, Lord, make it a special time now. Feed us and strengthen us through the preaching of your word. And Lord, we just cry to you. You know what's in our hearts. You know what's on our minds. Perhaps things ahead this week that are troubling us. Lord, we cast our cares upon you, our anxieties, because you care for us. We had that text only a few weeks ago. Thank you for it. Thank you that it's still the same today. So bless, Lord, we pray your word to us, particularly for the fathers amongst us. We pray a special blessing on this day. And Lord, for fathers in general, Lord, it's not an easy task. And Lord, it's so difficult in these days. But we pray particularly for Christian households, and we pray that fathers will, Lord, not just be blessed in the day, but Lord, be a blessing to the community at large, as if we see the way family is meant to be. So bless, Lord, I pray now, and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to bring a message this morning for Father's Day. Not just for fathers amongst us, for all of us, because I want us to focus, of course, on our Heavenly Father. And if you're a child of our Heavenly Father through faith in the Lord Jesus, hopefully you'll be greatly encouraged at the fatherhood of God towards us. I am aware that I feel like I have 1.5 messages. I don't know if David, I'm sure he doesn't have this experience, but because of putting the church at home together, I want to start there with what's there, but I want to move it on as well a little bit. So I feel like, as I say, I don't think it will take the time of a sermon and a half, I'm sure, but I do want to make a sort of an offshoot from where I begin. Now, a few weeks ago, possibly even over a month ago, I received an email that disturbed me a little bit. It was a generic, general email, so you might have thought, oh, you know, don't be so sensitive, Andrew. But it was from various restaurants in the area. Okay, I don't eat out that often, but obviously they know me and they send their adverts to me from time to time. And they basically said something like this: "Dear Andrew, it's nearly Father's Day. If it's an upsetting time for you and you'd like to opt out of receiving these sorts of emails about Father's Day, please let us know." And I thought, I've never received an email like that before. And it just reminded me of our society and the way things are, that this day is not easy for some people. And some people do not want to be reminded of fathers. And it's, as I say, but to send out a blank, you know, a blanket email to so many customers, basically saying we'd rather not upset you than have your custom. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine that ever happening on a Mother's Day or any other time of year. So why Father's Day? Well, it is a day that for some mixed emotions. It's a day where if there's not a father at home, of course, you don't want to be reminded of that situation. But I think for us as church, it's a day that we need to focus in on our Heavenly Father, that example of what fatherhood is all about. Yes, men as fathers falter and fail. But Jesus revealed the Father to us through his perfect relationship with the Father. And we can see much of that for our encouragement this morning. In John chapter 3, John the Baptist gives that testimony about the greatness of the Lord Jesus. And within the testimony, John speaks of how he must decrease and Jesus must increase. And that's true, isn't it, of every Christian. You know, we should not be getting in the way. We want Jesus to be seen. It's not about us. And John was aware of that. But he went on to say, the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. That's verse 35. How did God the Father love God the Son? Well, perfectly, because God does everything perfectly. But what did it look like? Clearly, as we read the Gospels, we read of how Jesus the Son spent time with the Father. He withdrew and spent time aside, being strengthened for the task ahead. The Father affirmed his love for his Son. A voice from heaven was heard. This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. So there you get something of the interaction of Father and Son. The Son seeking the Father to spend time with him. The Father speaking, and making clear his love for the Son. And that happened, of course, on a number of occasions in Jesus' ministry. Jesus spent time aside and the Father spoke audibly. Now to be a father can be used, can't it, to describe being a founder or an influential person, in the developments of a specific area of expertise. A founding father. You can be a father of engineering. You can be a father of whatever. You were there at the beginning. You have an important role and part to play. Now, of course, in family life, the father is there at the beginning, but as I've already alluded to, sometimes he's not there all the way through. But those of us who've had the privilege of fatherhood are all too aware of the challenges the role presents. I guess I've been thinking of this a little bit more recently. You know, I've been a father 28 years. And my son now is a father himself. So it's kind of, you know, you begin to see, well, you know, what sort of job did I do? What sort of job is he doing? How can I help him? What does a father do? Well, a father's role includes preparing the next generation for what they will face. It's about preparation. Fatherhood is often jokingly expressed as being the bank of dad. Dad's always seen to have his hands in his pockets, giving away, providing for what is needing. And really, fatherhood is about being a provider, if you think about it. In a home life, in the way that the family are brought up and go on. Being a provider. And we see that in the second part of that verse 35. The Father has placed everything in his hands. God the Father provided what God the Son needed. But what was that? Well, there are many things, because it says in the text, has placed everything in his hands. So if I was to open out this subject, we'd be here till next Father's Day and beyond. placed everything. But two things particularly are very clear. The Father gave the Son wisdom, and the Father gave the Son power. And in Luke chapter 4, 16 to 21, when Jesus went into the synagogue before his ministry began, and he read from the scriptures from Isaiah, it was through the word of God, the scriptures, that he gained wisdom. He'd been brought up. He'd gone up to the festivals, we know, as a child. He was there in Jerusalem. The scriptures, the synagogue, and now the ministry begins. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and Jesus said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The wisdom to know the time, the wisdom to understand his role, his purpose. This was all given to him. Jesus, the son of David, wiser than Solomon. Not just in that moment, but in every moment, in the way he dealt with those who opposed him, the way he dealt with those who were with him on his side. This wisdom, Jesus is wisdom personified, given to the Son by the Father. It's wonderful, I think, to see, just going, stepping aside from that, to say that if you are a child of God this morning, son and daughter of our Heavenly Father, the scripture says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given him. So as Jesus lived out that wisdom given to him, so we, in our need, can draw on the same Heavenly Father and the same heavenly wisdom. The Father also gave the Son power by the Holy Spirit, because in that passage in Luke 4, when he reads from Isaiah, he reads the words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." And he goes on to explain how the job will involve preaching and proclaiming, recovering and releasing, and making known the Lord's favor, bringing the gospel, the good news to the world. The power to do this was given him with that anointing of the Father upon the Son. So Jesus grew, it says in the scriptures, in wisdom and strength, wisdom and power. He was provided for by the Father to do what he had to do. And that's when you read of the miracles of Jesus, Jesus isn't just, you know, and now something different. Let's do a miracle here. There's always a purpose. There's always a plan. He was listening to the Father, fulfilling the Father's will, feeding 4,000, 5,000, but explaining he's the bread of life. He was guided every step of the way, in step with the Holy Spirit. And again, if, as children of our Heavenly Father, God has given his Spirit to guide us, that we might be in step, as Galatians 5 talks about it. As a church, listening, seeking the Lord for wisdom, seeking the Lord for power, that we might live effectively for him. Now, of course, the Father, God the Father and God the Son, that relationship is unique. The Father loved the Son perfectly, spending time with him, affirming him, placing all things in his hands to assist and prepare him for the future, even the future of Calvary and the cross. And on Father's Day, I think one of the things dads should think about is, Have I prepared my children for what is ahead for them? By God's help, drawing upon God's wisdom, yes, knowing God's power, particularly in the area of patience. The provision of a father is mirrored from our Heavenly Father's provision. And this is where I want to go away from the church at home. If you've got the church at home notes, you can read most of what I've just said again. But I was just thinking about the provision in a wider sense. And I just want to mention four things that a father is to provide. This is an earthly father. These things are not easy to do. And they mirror what our Heavenly Father does perfectly. Oh, glory to his name. The first is discipline. Oh, boy. Wait till your father gets home. Did you ever hear those words? Yeah. We can all smile. Perhaps think of, perhaps a telling off we got. Perhaps a job we had to do because we were out of line. Whatever the discipline might be. Sad to say, though, you know, in our world, so many do not hear those words. But in Scripture, we're told in Proverbs 4, it's quoted in Hebrews 12, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son." You know, if there was no relationship, it wouldn't matter to the man what the child did. But because he is father and the child is son or daughter, and he loves the child and wants the best for them, then he cannot just look away. He cannot turn a blind eye when something needs correcting. Now, to get the balance on this, Scripture is very, very balanced on it, because it warns men, fathers, about embittering their children or exasperating them. You can take things too far. But the danger, I think, in our liberal world and society is that we don't speak up, and discipline is sadly missing. And for the mums, perhaps in the old days it was good cop, bad cop, but now mum has to play good cop and bad cop, and that gets a little bit confusing in the disciplining of children. When it comes to the discipline of God, you know, when the Lord says no, when the Lord says stop that, when the Lord says do not go that way, you know, sometimes we can kick against that, rebel a little. But again, come back and see your Heavenly Father knows what's best. And in his perfect love for you and for me, he disciplines, he corrects. And that leads me on to my second area here, provision of a father. Yes, it's to discipline his children, but also more positively, not just to say stop, don't do that, but to direct, to suggest a better way. So from discipline to direction. Now again, who's ever heard their dad say, in my day, well, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 13, and tells us endlessly in Proverbs and other places too, about respecting and listening to our fathers and sparing ourselves from a lot of heartache. Now, it's often pointed out that dads can be a little bit out of date. You know, in my day, and the youngster turns around and says, well, it's not your day anymore, is it? And they have a point. Sometimes dads can seem a bit out of date. This is seen at weddings with embarrassing dancing from the past. Strange attire that perhaps a dad wears that his children would not be seen dead in. Actually, dads are supposed to be out of date. They're from a different generation from their children. I don't think there's anything worse than a dad trying to get down with his kids, hanging around looking just like them, doing what they do. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Because dads have experience, have wisdom, and have to share that, what they've learned, perhaps the hard way. History so easily repeats itself without learning lessons from the past. And that's why one generation must speak up to the next. When dad fails to direct, it isn't surprising that children often lose their way. Thankfully, God raises up others too. It's not just down to dad. But directing, how our Heavenly Father directs and wants to direct your life and mine through His Word, by His Spirit, warming our hearts. Again, where there's correction, where there's new insight given, it's for our good, so that we become who He intended us always to be. He doesn't just show us the way. He sent Jesus to be the way. And that's a nice reminder, because He could have just sent a map. This is the way. Just do this, 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 and this. But He sent Jesus to be the way. He made it personal. Allowing us to be pardoned for our rebellious ways through Calvary. Our personal sin cleansed. To know the fullness of life personally that He offers. To know He is with us and for us. As a Father, He is there. Directing our lives if we'll allow Him to. I don't know about you, but my dad wasn't much of a handyman. That explains why I'm not a handyman. I would have loved a dad who was really really hands-on. I probably still perhaps wouldn't have been any good, but just to have had that experience would have been something else, I think. But our earthly fathers, as I say, have their shortcomings, but not our Heavenly Father. He knows us and wants us to develop, directed by Him and His Word. As a Father, He's there. And He's there as our defence. This never happened to me in my playground days, but I had an older brother, so maybe I called upon him. But sometimes you hear, my dad's bigger than your dad. Oh, you used to. I guess you don't hear that much in playgrounds these days. My dad's bigger than your dad. He's my defence, my defender. And it says in the Psalms, doesn't it, about how the Lord is our defender. He's a father to the fatherless. He comes to the defense of His people. Remember the story of the prodigal son. Remember the return and the dramatic scene when the father sees his boy coming home and he runs to him. People wonder what's going on. He runs to him. Why the hurry? And remember, the son was smelly and dirty and wretched state. Surely, give him time to get cleaned up. Why the urgency? Well, it perhaps, yes, speaks of the heart of the father for the son. Yes. There is a passage in Deuteronomy 21 that talks about how if a family see a son that's dishonored a father, they can stone him to death. So maybe Jesus had in mind in that story the father actually defending his son from those who perhaps would take the higher ground and get the boulders prepared to throw. The father steps in. He runs. He shelters his son from the townsfolk around him. For as Jesus told us elsewhere, my Father is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. He is our defender, holding on to us, caring for us, even in the midst of this sinful, cruel world. The playground taunt shows how children see their parents, particularly dad, as their defender from attack. After all, dads are bigger and stronger, well, to start with anyway. In the child's eyes, that means safety, that means protection, and help to get through a confrontation. But not all dads, of course, however big, are keen to be a superhero. But our Heavenly Father is almighty, ever present, and help to His children. There's no defender like the Lord. I've been recently reading Psalm 18. That is an incredible psalm. There is a sevenfold description of the Lord. my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my shield, my horn of salvation, my stronghold. A rock beneath me, fortress around me, shield, deliverer before me. The Lord is all these things, says David in that psalm. What a comfort to know our Heavenly Father. He is our defender. He defends us in the battles, the struggles that we go through. He's there protecting and helping us. Yes, there is discipline. Yes, there is need for direction. But there is defense and there is devotion. The Lord your God is with you, says Zephaniah. He's mighty to save. He's bigger than any other dad. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. And he will rejoice over you with singing. Wow. Doting dads. When we describe our Heavenly Father, we, yes, perhaps think creator, almighty. He is all these things. But how precious is a verse like this? He'll rejoice over you with singing. On his lap, he'll give you that comfort, that love that you need. It was only a week last Monday, though it seems ages ago because of the weather change, that I sat in our back garden. We had some visitors, and they had a small child. About 1 year old. And the question was asked of me, all right, asked of me in an awkward moment, were your children good sleepers? Okay, that was the question. And I was a little bit like a mastermind when I've just got, you know, oh, the millionaire question on who wants to be a millionaire. I suddenly thought, I can't really remember. I thought, if I say that, it sounds like I don't care. I was there. But do I remember how they slept? I must have been asleep and Helen must have sorted it all out. That's all I can conclude in the end. So there I am, just totally sort of embarrassed at the question and the awkwardness in not having an answer. To which, in the end, I think I just had to say, I think they were pretty good. I don't remember. I guess if I've been up every night, I would remember. Now, when it comes to being a father, as I say, it's a shared responsibility with the mother anyway, but certain jobs perhaps these days, life's changing. Men are doing much more than they used to. My son does much more than I did. I know that for a start. And different cultures, of course, do it different ways. And perhaps in our culture, the stiff upper lip, the non-emotional way has ruled for a long time. For the doting dad, hopefully not just for a few days or a few weeks. Now he gets a bit more time off before he goes back to work. But even in the responsibilities of spending time with children and taking great pleasure and delight in them, it comes from our Heavenly Father who does that for you and for me. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Now that's an amazing verse, but what I want you to see is what it says at the end. That is what we are. Not what we were, but now we've grown up a bit and we're not so lovely anymore. It's not that God just lavishes his love on a new Christian, one who's just born again. Because you get that, don't you? Oh, you know, a baby in arms. Oh, the smell of a new baby. You know, just a few weeks, that brand newness, the doting father there. But then when they get two or three and they get tantrums and all the rest of it, they're not quite as lovely anymore. And then when they get bigger and teenagers and beyond, But the devotion, hopefully in family life, is still there. But it certainly is in our spiritual family, our Heavenly Father's love. We are loved, it says. That's what we are, not what we were. Being part of his family, this lavished love is for us all the time, every day. Now, in conclusion, because my time is gone, If today is a difficult day for you, consider your Heavenly Father and his fatherhood of you. Just stay there. Just focus on that. Think of his devotion. What love to send Jesus to the cross to die for your sins. That he does defend, that he does, yes, discipline and direct us as well, because he cares, because he loves us. Focus your attention there. If today you are celebrating as a father, and there are fathers in the house, consider your role and follow God's incredible example. We need help, don't we? Disciplining in these days. Even directing is not always easy. But we would step in, we would defend whatever our children are going through. Let's remain devoted. And the best, one of the best ways, of course, to show our devotion is to be prayerful. To commit the family to the Lord constantly. And if this morning you're celebrating God's gift of your dad to you, thank God for the things your dad gets right or got right, if they're no longer with us. And let's all be prayerful and sympathetic towards dads, knowing the challenge of the role that they face. May God give us the grace that we need in this place as fathers, and may God reveal the grace of God in Christ to our world, because how can they hope to father without the Heavenly Father and his help? Amen. So let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, oh how wonderful it is to know you in this way, to call upon you, to know that you are at work in your children's lives for our good. Go with us into this week where we need discipline. Discipline us, Lord, that we might be then a greater blessing to others. Direct us through your word, that we might not be misled or taken off that path of righteousness. Defend us, Lord, for we are in a battle and there is much, Lord, going on around us. And again, thank you for your devotion, your incredible heart of love for us, through which we are saved, through which we are kept, through which we will find our way home to you for all eternity. Bless us and keep us, Lord. Continue to make your face shine upon us. Grant us now and always to know your peace. Our loving Heavenly Father. Amen.